Yes, indeed. Celebrating the end of the school year. I know there's a lot of excitement in the air, whether you're on the elementary or high school level, or, you're just a parent who is kind of excited for your kids, as excited they are, recognizing that they're going to be home with you the next 2 months, just constantly asking, I'm bored. What can we do? Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about here. That's why those summer camps are so darn handy. Your grandparents, call on them. But yes, if you're a student too, it's pretty exciting that you're almost done now. I know Martin, F.W. Johnson, I believe Tom are going to be picking up their diplomas at ceremonies today. Tomorrow, Wednesday, it is the last day of school. Here's how I understand it according to the school calendars when you go online. Regina Public School students are off tomorrow. That's the last day of school. Staff is finished on Friday in public schools. The Catholic school system is also out after tomorrow. Moose Jaw and Karenport, last day of school is Thursday. And I know students in Balgonie, last day of school is Friday. Kind of varies, but for the most part, the common theme is this is the last week of school. But the weather is looking better from here on in, too. And there are thoughts now turning to summer vacation, heading to the lake, maybe spending the afternoon with the kids at one of the outdoor pools or firing up the backyard barbecue more often. Keep in mind, too, how inexpensive it is to check out a ball game at Curry Field. I know the Red Sox are back in action tonight against the Saskatoon Berries over at Curry Field. And, a week from today, here it is Tuesday morning, a week from today, it's Canada Day. And I mentioned this yesterday, too. It sounds like many are treating this upcoming weekend as a long weekend because a lot seem to be with the kids getting out of school officially, taking Monday off to extend into the stat next Tuesday of Canada Day, making an extra long weekend. So hope the weather is as awesome as it appears to be when we get there. We've got the Rider game Saturday. BC Lions are in town. 5 o'clock starts. And on Canada Day Tuesday, Wascana Park sounds like it's going to be a blast. They've got some great entertainment lined up. The Juno Award-winning Jake of Vandaland and the Sturgeon River Boys. I saw Jake and his boys, I don't know, about 2 years ago, opening up for the Hunter Brothers. I could not believe how entertained I was by him. Real throwback to old-time twangy country music with the bass and everything, but he was quite the entertainer. It's hard to describe, but if that's free at the Canada Day celebrations, it's worth to check out. That in Harlequin is going to be free. Week from today, Canada Day, and they're promising a spectacular fireworks show at 10:30 on Canada Day as well. But lots to look forward to with school wrapping up this week and summer vacation plans. This morning, I want to give a shout out to my friends over at the Hospitals Regina Foundation. Later today with the SHA, they're revealing a newly transformed courtyard at that courtyard space of the General Hospital. They revamped it there. They invested something like $50,000 thanks to the Hospitals of Regina. There's going to be new art, lighting, accessibility, kids area. So they'll reveal that officially this morning. So props to my friends there at the Hospitals of Regina Foundation. And, of course, congratulations to the General Hospital, too. Wow, in the past 48 hours, President Donald Trump has ordered U.S. warplanes to drop massive bombs on three nuclear sites in Iran and Tehran and retaliated by attacking one of the largest U.S. air bases in the Middle East. Trump then announced that a ceasefire between Israel and Iran was in effect. However, earlier today, Israel accused Iran of an utter violation of the ceasefire for launching a barrage of missiles now. Iran denied violating the ceasefire and said that Israel had engaged in multiple strikes before the ceasefire went into effect. So here you go. Speaking to reporters at the White House before departing for the NATO summit in the Netherlands, President Trump making sense of this.
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I've never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that.
He's not happy. He's just plain frustrated.
We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
That's what it's come to. As an explanation from the President of the United States here this morning. What was your favorite summer job? Start thinking about that one. Did you have a great job when you were a kid? Next half hour, I want to delve into that and share some of my favorite summer jobs. Just with the kids getting out of school here. We grew up in a different time. When school was out, it was expected, my brothers and I, to go find a job and make some extra scratch. It doesn't seem that way as much anymore, but favorite summer jobs. Consider that and then I'll have you shoot me a text. What your job was, if you have a great story, 1-877-300-7275. You know, the last few weeks, it has been a little scary keeping an eye on the sky. In some parts of the province, tornado activity has been pretty prominent. It's like we're living a Twister movie here.
Guys, whatever's in there, it's big and it's moving fast. Drive.
Go, 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 go. Look out!
Well, I hope it's never that extreme, but for a while there yesterday, Saskatoon was under a tornado watch, and nothing came out of it, thankfully, but we've seen some pretty significant tornado activity lately, and Ricky Forbes is a storm chaser. He feels storm season has started early, and he doesn't think it's over yet. He admitted that, thanks to the movies, storm chasing has become a huge pastime for a lot of wannabe storm chasers.
We are seeing more, weekend warriors, more people just interested in getting out there and giving it a shot, but down in the United States, like in the heart of Tornado Alley, there's days that we'll see thousands of cars out there, and there's traffic jams around these storms, and it's definitely, I've been doing it for 13 years, and it's wild how much the culture has changed in those years.
Storm chaser Ricky Forbes living his best life, chasing the big one, and here he is sharing his most memorable tornado watch, and whether or not he feels the movies get it right, too.
10 years ago, we were caught inside a tornado, and not on purpose, we're not out there to be inside the tornadoes. We were caught inside a tornado, and it turned out to be the world's largest tornado on record. It was over 4 kilometers wide. We were in there for just under a minute, and we have footage of it, and we were able to get out of it, and it was just by luck. But that would be one that definitely stands out. To have a brush with the world's largest tornado is something for the resume. We had Twisters come out last year, which was the sequel to the Twister from the 90s. Those two movies did get it correct. The way they're forecasting, the way the storms look, the way the storms behave, what storm chasers are doing. But there are lots of other disaster movies and storm chasing movies, and sometimes we'll see, you know, 20 tornadoes on the ground or tornadoes spitting fire. Those aren't quite correct.
As for our recent tornado activity, Ricky Forbes thinks it's going to remain active. Forbes thinks conditions are pretty ripe even now to remain for a while.
I do feel that way. You know, with we see the jet stream locking in up here for at least the next 2.5-3 weeks, plus this moisture coming in right now, and what we see also coming in, I do feel it's going to be an active year.
We'll be keeping our eye on the sky all summer long, I think, for you too, with updates whenever necessary. And while many parts of the province have had severe thunderstorm action and some tornado warnings like yesterday, weather's a lot different out east. Ontario, Quebec, they're under this giant heat dome. Toronto saw its hottest June 23rd on record yesterday, 36 degrees, add the humidex, and they were sweating like it was 44. And for some reason, they closed the pools at some point because it was too hot. I cannot wrap my head to make sense around that one. But yeah, people were showing up at local pools, but they were closed because they said it was too hot and something wrong with the mechanics. Like, can you imagine how upsetting that would be on a day that was 44 with a humidex? Crazy. One of my favorite artists, one of my favorite seasons. In fact, it's my very favorite season. Summer is here, and I know in my household, a lot of excitement over the fact it's the last few days of school. And as the summer vacation season gets set to crank up with the release of students from school and many of us planning to staycation more than ever before, I heard Jim Bent, CEO of Hospitality Saskatchewan, yesterday with Brent Lauk suggesting for now the hospitality industry is holding their head above water in preparation for the summer season. However, he admits the struggle is real and it's not going to get any easier holding people to work because, well, there are some changes coming to the immigration program on the horizon.
It's going to look extremely tough. In March, the federal government made a number of changes to our immigration programs. In some of the big provinces, they had very high unemployment and housing was, in crisis. So the federal government made some knee-jerk reactions. Well, the impacts on provinces that have about 1.5 million and less people, it's really caused some amazing shortages. You know, we've got about 900,000 folks that are on work visas of some type that will be leaving, and there's no very few pathways back. So our industry typically gets hit first by stuff like that. Of course, we hire domestically first, and then we'll even go across Canada to other areas that have got higher unemployment, and we do recruiting there. But having said that, once it's all exhausted, we do need that component in our workforce. And now with so many temporary foreign workers unable to get extensions, they'll be going home. International students is a huge blow to us. Many students work within our industry. They're not getting their postgrad work permits renewed, and permanent residence, that's been slashed in half by the feds as well, too, which was a great way to keep people once they've applied for permanent residence and got here. So again, for Saskatchewan, by next July, we're really going to see the impacts of those federal moves that were made last March.
Jim Bent, so the state of the hospitality industry, and it is quite a challenge, and it's a political hot potato too, right? Because in Ottawa, even locally, the governments are probably finding themselves quite torn too. They want to support and help local businesses, but on the other hand, there's this movement to have a lot of these people not stay in Canada. But as Jim Bent, president, CEO of Hospitality Saskatchewan, said, staffing will become an issue.
100%. And it's really, in our case, it's starting to stymie growth. You know, Humboldt, it's just booming. It's got a couple of projects. BHP will be moving in. I've got folks that would love to expand their operations into that area, and they simply can't because they don't have the people. There's no way we're going to put shovels in the ground because we don't have managers or even people to staff the windows.
Well, I don't feel there's a growing sense of urgency like when we were kids to get a summer job as school ends here. And listening to Jim about, you know, getting enough people to work, made me think of, you know, my favorite summer jobs. Growing up, my parents were pushing my brothers and I, as soon as we were able to find a job, make our own cash, get out there, do it. I'm kind of proud. Even my youngest daughter now seems to have no problem racking up the babysitting hours. She likes the extra money to get some Sephora makeup and skincare that I can't believe is as priced as it is, but I digress. Anyhow, when we were kids, we just knew the drill. School's out, go find a part-time job. Suddenly, some of my best friends became camp counselors or lawn mowing experts in the neighborhood, even working with the city and parks. I had the best gig ever, though, I think.
Ice cream!
Yeah, I worked at the Milky Way on Victoria Avenue when I was young. Unlimited hot fudge sundaes, bottomless milkshakes. I had a summer tan and a sugar high by mid-July. My uncle owned the place back then. Uncle George, great guy, generous, especially when I may or may not have shortchanged him a bit to give free cones to my high school crush at the time. I'd be like, no, it's on me. Spoiler, it didn't work. She actually wound up marrying a guy who at one time worked at the 7-Eleven part-time. She liked, I guess, the Slurpee machine more than my ice cream and my generosity. Anyhow, the Milky Way was a great gig I had. So was my time at the Cinema 6 drive-in.
Show starts in 1 minute.
Oh, yeah.
Please remember to replace the speaker on the post when you leave the theater.
That was one of my jobs. People ripping off the speakers, and then they'd fall to the ground as they left, and I'd have to get a screwdriver and assist in putting them back. Anyhow, working the drive-in was awesome, especially when the movies were restricted. No one under 18 was allowed. I'd get to watch them all. Couldn't believe what I was witnessing. And then you have no idea how many times car would pull up and my friends would be in the trunk. I'd give it a little knock and they too would be in the restricted movie. But I think my oldest brother had one of the coolest jobs. He had moved to Calgary. He once worked for the Calgary Zoo, but he was fired when I'm not making this up, he accidentally let a peacock escape and apparently wandered into a neighborhood backyard, attacked a lawn flamingo. You know, those fake lawn flamingos, and the little old lady who owned the flamingo demanded he pay for a new one because, well, she felt the peacock had defiled her fake flamingo. But yes, it was awful fight, I guess. Bottom line, summer jobs. What's your best one yet? Favorite summer job you ever had? What was it? 1-877-300-7275. Sarah said she babysat tons and worked as a summer camp counselor. I went to church camp many, many years ago when I was very young, and I was a mama's boy, right? So I did not want to go to camp. It's like, leave my mom. Wound up having a good time. The counselors were pretty important in ensuring that happened there, too. But favorite summer job? You got one? 1-877-300-7275. President Trump venting his anger at both Israel and Iran this morning, accusing both of violating a ceasefire agreement shortly after it came into effect in the morning.
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I'd never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that.
Now, Trump was pretty jubilant yesterday evening when he announced a ceasefire between the two. He stayed up well into the night, apparently, watching the coverage as it was set to go into effect, but became increasingly angry as he believed both countries were violating the agreements. So angry, he said this.
We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
And with all of that, the price of gas might be going up soon. Oil prices are on the rise, and because of the instability in the Middle East and with summer vacation season here, too, oh, it's inevitable, isn't it? The price of gas is going to go up. Gas Buddy suggests we could see a jump 3 to 7 cents per liter. I don't know if you knew this, but because of all the construction, until the end of July, you can enjoy free parking at the Cornwall Center if you're going downtown right now. It's a 2.5 hour limit, but it is a way to, they're trying to entice people to shop downtown. And despite all the construction, which, boy, I was just talking to one of my coworkers here a few moments ago in the hallway who said getting out of work here in downtown Regina on Sass Drive last night was extremely aggravating because of all the construction. It does tend to be backed up. But the Cornwall Center is doing what they can. You have till the end of July to enjoy that free parking, 2.5 hour limit there. Saskatchewan Crown Corporations opened up the books yesterday for all the corporations. And let's see here. SaskTel and SaskPower apparently saw positive returns, but a decrease compared to last year. SaskTel has said it lost like 14,000 landline and cable customers. I'm not surprised by that. A lot of people ditching their landlines and streaming services. Yeah. Looking for cable is probably a little more difficult. But despite that, SaskTel is still required to offer it as a basic package to people. However, they warned, Jeff Welke said that the packages will have to be altered in the future.
That day's coming. It's not around the corner, but it's coming down the pike eventually. In all regions of the country.
SaskPower is going to continue major spending on its infrastructure. Said rate increases are on the way. Too early to tell what that could look like. Their CEO said the spending is crucial in helping the power grid in the province. Sask Energy saw a return to normal for its financial thanks to a seasonal winter we had. SGI had to pull from its reserves for the fourth year in a row because it's not getting any cheaper to cover vehicle fixes, I guess. But that's what the Crowns are reporting this morning. Before I break, I'd like to tell you about Don Cherry, who has released his final podcast, The Grapevine, as it's known, and 91 years old. Former coach and analyst, broadcasting legend, has decided to hang up his podcast headphones for good. He sounds pretty frail as he says goodbye here.
Well, Tim, this is our last show.
Yep. How many podcasts have we done?
I don't know.
This is our 313th.
313th.
Yeah, we've been listened to all around the world. It's just amazing how many different countries, you know, people download and listen to it. We've had 6.5 million downloads, which is pretty good. So
how many?
6.5 million downloads.
That's an awful lot. Thanks everybody for listening, and toodaloo.
That's Don Cherry, who first launched his podcast back in the 80s, resurrected it in 2019 after he was fired from Hockey Night in Canada over comments about those in Canada who don't buy poppies to commemorate Remembrance Day. I will admit, he was must watch as a hockey fan. I didn't always agree with him, but I watched it every time it was on, Don Cherry. And he might have made my blood boil over something he said, but I tune in the next time, too.